Hebrews 6 and 12. Amen. I'm going to just start reading. The Bible says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Bless us, O King, as we unpack it and as we study it. Who is sufficient for these things? Take my little loaves and fish, my little studying, my little pen, my little typing, God, and feed the nations with it, Daddy. Save the souls of men, Daddy. Awaken Israel with it. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would breathe your ruach, your fresh wind, upon the dry bones, that they may come together, that they may stand, breathe, and live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Saints, we've been in the book of Hebrews just going line by line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And we've been covering, amen, all of the chapters. And if you remember, Hebrews is just all about, amen, God having a particular letter for a particular people in a particular time in this New Testament dispensation. And he's telling the Hebrews, listen, don't go back to the law. Don't go back to Moses. Don't go back to the old covenant. The new covenant is better. We have a better messenger in Yahshua HaMashiach. He's better than the angels. He's better than all the prophets. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than the whole Levitical priesthood. He's a priest, but not after the order of the Levite priest. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is a forever priesthood, a priesthood that does not change, a priesthood that has better offerings and better sacrifices. For his offerings and his sacrifices was his very body and his very blood, which was broken and shed on our behalf. And so he wants to encourage us over and over again to stay in the faith of the new covenant. If you remember last time, amen, we've been preaching and we've been telling believers to go on, to leave the elementary, basic things, the primary things, to leave Head Start and let's graduate, huh? He's been telling us, amen, we got to go on from trying to figure out the simplicities of the gospel, leaving dead works, faith through salvation. You know, that stuff should be settled in your heart. Amen. He told us to go on. It's a time right now where most of us should be teachers. Amen. But he said we still have need for those to teach us the elementary, basic things. My charge to you, Philly, is to grow up. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, grow up.
Grow up.
Look at your other neighbor and say, it's time to grow up.
Time to grow up.
Yeah, it's time to grow up in the spirit, man. You can't be the same way you was when you came in. All right. And last time we had a sermon, amen, called Falling Away, you see. And that sermon was all about our God talking about the two different groups of people that's on the earth. The chosen, the elect, the saved, and the lost. The worldly, huh? The one who's unsaved. And we talked about how close people can get to salvation. to where they think they save, and they may have others thinking they save, but God knows they're not saved. And so he began to talk about how close you can get. You could be enlightened, tasted, partakers. You could even love the good word, even have know some things about the world to come. All that don't make you saved, right? And secondly, he says, amen, that when those fall away that come so close, it's going to be hard to bring them back to that place, amen, where they actually see their sin and sorrow for their sins. He said, when they turn away, it's like crucifying the Son of God afresh. And they crucify him afresh because just like those who put those nails in his hand and that spear in his side, amen, who sold him out, betrayed him to Pilate, they knew who he was and still betrayed him. See, the ones that's come so close to the gospel, so close to church, and leave out and live like the devil, leave out and go into the world, that's like sinning against God with your eyes wide open. With all the information, and you just run out. God said, you ain't no better than the ones that crucified him. You crucified the Son of God afresh. There's a special place in hell for you. You see? Whenever you sin against light, that's a special place for you. You can't go in there and say, I never knew no better. Come on, Pastor. This is just the recap, Pastor. He said, I'm looking for things that accompany salvation. We talked about the works that follow the faith. And we talked about the love that follows the faith. How you're supposed to love one another, the brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And so we talked about those things. And in our current chapter, amen, chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews is just going to continue. He wants to continue talking to believers tonight. The Hebrew messianic believers, he want to talk to you. He want to admonish you a few things, amen, in this chapter. Amen, some easy to comprehend, some a little bit more difficult. We're going to stop when we run out of time, you see. The title of this message is Faith and Patience. Say that with me. Faith and Patience. All right? We'll have several points. And like I said, we just go mosey along. When it's time, we're going to just wrap it up and close it up. First point, be not slothful. Remember, he's talking to believers in verse 12 of chapter 6. He says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You see, that word slothful in the spirit means to be spiritually disinterested, spiritually indifferent, spiritually slack to the point where you don't want to do anything anymore for God and you don't want to hear anything from God. That's that slothful. It's not a lazy like on the job, it's a lazy in the spirit. See, because a lot of us could work hard on the job, but we're lazy in the spirit. And God is saying, if you would just work for me, like you work for them. If you just labor for me, like you labor for them. And so he tells the believers, be not slothful in the spirit. The Greek word for slothful is nothros. Nothros means no push. No push. I mean, you wake up in the morning and God is in front of you, but you have no push towards him. You have no push to get to know him. No push to read his word. No push to pray to him. No push to come to Bible study. No push to come to church. There's no push from within you. Other people pushing you to do it, but you don't have that push. And if that person was there, you wouldn't even be here because there's no push. There's nothros on the inside of you. You see? A lot of times, amen, for the saved, you can get to nothros. You can get to a place where, listen, you save and you've been serving the Lord, but you can get sluggish. You can get slothful to the point where you get tired of hearing God and tired of working for God, and hallelujah, you just kind of get lazy. And you don't want to do nothing no more. Huh? And I've seen people do that. I've seen Christians get like that. I've even felt it upon myself. But one of the best pieces of advice I got when I first got saved was that faith and feelings are two completely different things. All right? All right? I don't work for God for feelings. I don't read my word for feelings. I don't pray for feelings. See, if I did it for feelings, one morning I'd wake up and I wouldn't feel like it. You understand what I'm saying? But I do it by faith. Anybody hear me up in here? And faith works whether I feel like it or not. And I had a brother, amen, challenge me one time when I first got saved. Amen. Because you can fall into, hallelujah, that frame of thinking. I just don't feel like coming. I just don't feel like reading. I just don't feel like praying. Huh? That brother told me, look me in my eyes, and he told me, he said, listen to me now. He said, listen to me, Omar. He said, listen. When you don't feel like doing something for God, you still do it until you feel like it. You hear what I'm saying? Because that's the way working for God is. Most of the time, after you start working, that's when you're going to start feeling it. And you're going to be like, oh, God, I'm glad I did this. Oh, I'm glad I came to church today. I'm glad I got on my knees to pray. I'm glad I opened up the Bible. Because the flesh won't feel like it. So he tells us, be not slothful. Don't you get into this trap of the flesh where you begin to listen to that old flesh, whether you're going to read, whether you're going to pray, whether you're going to work for God, whether you're going to serve in nursery, whether you're going to serve in a sound booth, whether you're going to usher, whether you're going to work security. By the way, we need some men in security. Huh? We need some men. God is challenging us. Listen, man, get to work. Work while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. Anybody hear me up in here? See, the problem with Nothros being slothful is that when you are slothful, you begin to be filled with doubt. You begin to ask the question, am I really saved to begin with? You begin to ask the question, did I really give my life to the Lord? You see, the ones that's busy at work for the Lord, they rarely have doubt. And the prior verse preceding, they say, be diligent and then you'll have full assurance. Well, this next verse says, be slothful, and then you have full doubt. If you're in here and you've been doubting your salvation, doubting whether God is really with you, amen, it's probably because you've been sitting on the bench too long. It's probably because you ain't doing nothing, amen. It's probably because you're cold. It's probably because you're slothful tonight. Author of Hebrews tells us this, be not slothful. Get to work for the Lord. Come on, give God some glory, amen. We're going to keep on moving, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them. Followers of them. Now just want to interject now, all right? If you come into Philly, all right, and you a member, you should be working somewhere. You should be working somewhere. You should be working somewhere. You should be working somewhere, all right? I say it all the time. This is not a cruise ship. You buy your little ticket, and we all serve you all you could eat, and you just kind of go to your room and just this and that. It's not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. All right? It's a battleship. And every person has a station that they're supposed to be at. All right? I got a question for you. What's your station tonight? What's your station? What's your station? What ministry are you on? Who's your minister here? What you doing for the kingdom? Or you just sitting? Or you just sitting? Not only do the sitters have a problem with doubting God, the sitters have a problem with demonic attack as well. You see, it's hard to hit a moving target. You understand what I'm saying? But if you're sitting, the devil can jump on you at any time he wants. Anybody hear me up in here? Have anybody been rabbit hunting? Anybody been, hallelujah, Brother Steve, at them rabbit move fast? It's hard to hit a moving target. It's hard to hit a moving target. When you're working in church, you're getting your rabbit on. You're moving around. When you're sitting doing nothing, you're sitting duck. Could be the reason why the devil tearing you up. Second point, but followers of them. But followers of them. In verse 12, the Bible says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the problem. This phrase, followers of them, literally means imitators of them. Somebody say imitators. Right? Imitators of them. It means to find and follow an example. To copy someone. to copy not their words, but their behavior. The Greek word here is mementos, and it is the word where we get our English word mime from. If you go to a show, sometimes they have them bored, painted with the white face, with the little hats on, and they do what? They pantomime, huh? And what they do is they mimic people without saying a word, huh? And you could tell what they're doing. They're not even saying a word, but you can tell they're drinking water. You can tell they're driving a car. Amen. It means to hallelujah, when one impersonates another person without words. God wants us to find somebody to pantomime. He wants you to look around and find somebody that you can impersonate, that you can mimic, that you can follow their example without words. You see? Do what they do. This teaches believers a few things. Number one, amen, and this is deep. I think it's very important. Number one, find somebody to imitate. You see? Find somebody to imitate. Now, we all know, amen, that we're supposed to imitate Christ. All right? But what Jesus did for us, amen, he told us, don't just imitate me, but if you find somebody that's following me, it's all right for you to follow them too. All right? Because sometimes, amen, it's easier to see somebody in the natural doing something and you do it yourself as well. So, hallelujah. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. What Paul is saying is, follow me while I follow Christ. The NLT says, imitate me, hallelujah, Paul is saying, while I imitate Christ. You see, the Bible here says in the book of Hebrews, amen, listen, for the believers, in order for you to be successful in this walk, you got to be diligent, but you can't be slothful, but you also should look out around you in church. Look out around you in your family. Look out around you amongst your friends. Look out around you, hallelujah, and find somebody that's living for Jesus and begin to do what they do. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! Yes. It means to reproduce in your own way the godly qualifications that you see in another. To reproduce in your own way. You don't exactly have to be them. You start coughing like them and talking like them and wearing your pants like them. No. It's you still being you. All right? But it's you studying their life. All right? You know how the Bible tells us that every single one of us is a living epistle? Well, you study their epistle. You study the book of Sheree, the book of Jonathan. Huh? Huh? You study that book. Huh? The book of Margaret. Huh? And as you watch them, as you watch them, amen, you watch how they serve him. And you begin to mimic their life. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. You mimic their singleness. This is for our singles. You find somebody who's single that's really doing it for the Lord. And you look at them and you watch how they deal with what they deal with. Sometimes you might even have to sit down and meet with them, talk with them, huh? But they're a little further along in the walk than you, all right? You just got saved, amen, and they've been here for a long time, all right? They've been single for a long time. How do you do this without falling into temptation? How do you do this without fornicating? How do you do this without your heart waking up depressed and you're feeling alone? How do you do what you do for so long? All right? Can I sit down and talk with you for a second? Can you tell me how you do that, amen, when you wake up on a holiday morning and there's nothing, no gift, no nothing? How do you do that? I want to know how you do it. Because I know if he could do it for you, he could do it for me. I just need to know how to get myself in the position. I need somebody to imitate. Huh? You imitate their singleness. For our married folk. Huh? It's good for you to look for another couple. Another couple that's doing it for the Lord. And look at their marriage. And say, you know what? I want to imitate that. I want to imitate how she talked to him. And I want to imitate how he talked to her. I want to imitate how she submit to him. Amen. And I want to imitate how he loves her. And every decision is on her behalf. I want to imitate that. All right? See, a lot of us too proud to want to imitate somebody. But the Bible tells us that we have to find somebody that's a little beyond us, which takes a bit of a humility, huh? Because not all of us not willing to admit that somebody beyond us. When it's obvious to everybody but you that they beyond you. You know, y'all throwing dishes at each other. You see? And not that that couple don't fall out. Because you can learn from them even when they fall out. How they fall out. How it look when they fall out. Do they stay falling out? Do they make up? How they make up? Oh, making up is sweet. You know what I'm saying? So you just... Hey! He said, be ye followers of them. How they raise their children? Is there a couple of parents that you molding your parental guidance from? Huh? Have you looked out and saw somebody's children that you say, oh yeah, oh yeah. Have you asked them, what did you do? Have you asked them, how you do that there? Why they listen? Why they stay sitting down? Why they, hallelujah, above the age of 16, 17, but they always still want to be with y'all. They still come to church with y'all. They still... You see, when mine got 18, they was gone. But when yours got 18, whoo. How did you do that? Because I got a couple coming up right under you. How did you do that? He said, be followers of them. And while I'm preaching, I believe that there's something that each of us could offer one another. Woo! You'd be surprised. You teach somebody something in this, and they'll teach you something in that. He said, be followers of them. Huh? And this is probably one of the best things that God showed me while I was studying. You see, when you pick somebody to imitate, you just don't imitate them in the good times. Woo! Watch me now, Mike. You just don't imitate them and watch them during the good times. But you watch them even closer during the bad times. Ooh, come on, somebody. Huh? When money funny? When they're not feeling good? Huh? When they're in situations that should be fearful? Huh? When they got to go through that surgery? Huh? When they got to go through that recovery? Huh? When something happened to the spouse or they married a relationship? Hallelujah. Huh? I'm telling you right now, don't just look for the good things when the mature saints go through. Because you'll learn the most from them when they're walking through the valley. Amen. Hallelujah. When they're walking through. And they come right back up through that valley. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be watching them. Be followers of them. You see? That's what he says. And this is all about being a healthy believer. Huh? You can't be lazy. Plug yourself into some work in the ministry. Get to work. Amen. Keep reading your Bible. Keep studying. Keep praying. Keep coming to church. Amen. Come to Bible study. Be active. Amen. Hallelujah. When we're doing these sports, be out there with us in the park. Amen. You think this is just for sport lovers? This is for Christian lovers. Be out there with us. Hallelujah. Make yourself available. Amen. Hallelujah. Be not slothful. Be not lazy. Listen to me. Sheep on the outer perimeter get eaten. Sheep on the outer perimeter get eaten. All right? It's no secret. It's no secret. Somebody that's in the middle of Philadelphia, plugging in, doing everything that they got to do, amen, you rarely ever hear, I rarely ever get a call, oh, they left the church. Nah. But them that's on that outer perimeter, huh? When they start to stray off more and more, I get the call, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you ain't plugged in. You ain't want this. You ain't love the people. You ain't work for this. It's only a matter of time. He said, be not slothful. Plug in. After you plug in, guess what? Find you somebody to imitate. Anybody hear me up in here? So find someone. The second thing it teaches us is this. Believers should strive to give a good example. All right? You see, if people following you, then you better do right. All right? And I'm going to tell you, in this church, amen, from the top all the way to the bottom, there's always room for somebody to be following you. All right? All right? There's always room for somebody to be following you. See, because when you come in, amen, you're always ahead of somebody coming in after you. All right? And so you got to learn how to be an example. 1 Peter 5:2. Listen, I want to talk to the pastors that's listening, the ministers that's here and listening, the deacons that's here and listening, the ministry heads that's here and listening. Huh? Even the husbands and the wives. Listen, the Bible says feed the flock of God. He's talking to elders. Talk about people that's been in the faith. And somebody even say pastors, but I'm going to include everybody that's leaders. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight, all right? You a leader, take the oversight. Oversee them. Huh? Because the shepherd can't watch over the whole flock. It's good to have some under-shepherds under the under-shepherd. Taking the oversight, not by constraint. Nobody make you do it. You do it because you love God, but willingly, he says. Anybody hear me up in here? He said, not for filthy lucre. Money is not your motivation for keeping watch over the people of God. You do it for absolutely free. Why? Because you love God and you love his people. All right? Of a ready mind. Look at verse 3 is where we want to be. Hey, God. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You see, a lord says, do what I say. An example says, do what I do. Ooh! A lord says, serve me. An example says, serve with me. And as you're an elder in this place, you've been here, serve the Lord. Don't be lazy. Somebody behind you watching you. Be an example to them. Huh? Well, Pastor, I'm just a little young person, huh? 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Yeah, even though you're young, you could still be an example. I'm talking to our young people, even at PCA. Be an example. Be an example. Little children, be an example to other children. All right? Let them know when they act talking foolish. That's foolish. You see? Be an example. You see? Our older kids, high school, college, be an example. You see? You can always be an example. All right? Let's move on to our third point. Inherit the promise. Inherit the promise. Still in verse 12. Ooh, goodness, I don't know how we're going to get through it, but look, we're going to move. In verse 12, look what he says. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, they do what? Inherit the promise. I love this. One of the examples you want to look for, hallelujah, of somebody you would like to imitate. One of the examples you want to look for is somebody, hallelujah, who is operating in faith and patience. Say that with me. Faith and patience. You see? See, right now, minister, our youngsters using wrong people for examples. They're looking on TV for examples. They're looking on the video, BET MTV, for examples. Huh? They're looking, I hope not, in the political realm, the White House. I hope they're not looking for that as example. All right? We got a lot of people looking for examples in the wrong place. Let me tell you, and be real with you. They're looking at professional athletes as examples. And just because you make it, that don't make you no example. Just because you're in the music industry don't make you no example. As the example of how you shouldn't do things. Of the way you shouldn't go. What kind of example should I be looking for? Young person, what kind of example should I be looking for? Two things. I should be looking for somebody who operates in faith and patience. Faith and patience. Huh? You see in that, it don't say how they look. It doesn't say anything about the way they dress. It don't say anything about if they cool or not. Huh? Looking for two things. Faith and patience. What's faith? Well, faith, I can quote the scripture, but I'm just going to give you my definition right here. You see? Faith is when you trust God. When you have confidence in him. When you have trust and confidence in his person, his power, his wisdom, his goodness, his justice, his mercy, his love, you know God gonna work it out for you. That's a person of faith. When you find somebody, hallelujah, that have confidence in God, all right? You look at that person and you say, oh yeah, that's somebody I want to imitate, all right? And they're sitting all throughout this audience, sitting right on the side of you, all right? And you want to look for somebody with a little bit more than you, all right? All right? So you want to look for them and you want to look for them and you want to imitate them. Faith. They trust God. They're confident in them, huh? Look for patience. Patience is when somebody has this virtue. When something is far off. When something is distant. When it's a long way away. They have the ability to wait for it. I mean, it's far. It's a long way away. But they have the ability to sit there. And they have the faith, the trust, the confidence in God. God, I know you're going to do this. Amen. But God says, it's way over here. That's all right, God. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. No, I'm just going to sit here, God. All right? That's what patience is. All right? It's a calm spirit. It's a quietness of heart. It's a quietness of soul that waits on the blessing, wait on the promises. When you find somebody who have confidence in God and also has coupled with it, amen, this indelible characteristic of waiting, huh? They wait quietly. They wait calmly. They wait in the face of misfortune, unfavorable circumstances, and even provocation. They just wait. They're up in there waiting like Joseph. I got my promise that I'm going to be here, but it don't matter. It don't matter if they throw me in jail. It don't matter if they set me up. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. You see, that's what you look for. You see, because patience will wait through misfortune. Because a lot of times God will take you the long way around the mountain. He'll anoint David and then put David on the run. He'll anoint him and put him in a cave somewhere. He'll anoint him and take him out the royal court and put him around men full of debt, despair, and broken. And God, what are you doing? Which way are you taking me? And if you don't have this faith coupled with this patience, hey, God, you won't survive the trial period. You won't survive it. You see? Yeah. It endures, y'all. It hangs on the promises of God. Knowing that God will do what he said he's going to do. All right? Now watch this, Miss Denise. This faith produces patience. Meaning you'll never have the patience without the faith. The faith produces the patience. Are you with me here so far? All right? And this patience is evidence of the faith. I'm going to do that again. The faith, the trust, and the confidence of God produces a patience in you that says, God, I'm going to wait. And I don't mind waiting. Is that Abraham faith? Is that David faith? Is that, listen, I'm just God, whatever. I know you're coming through. The faith is that, the faith produces the patience, and the patience is evidence of the faith. What do you mean, Pastor? When you see this patience, you have just run across a person with strong faith. Whether you know it or not, whether they're raising the dead or not, whether they're making it rain, gold dust or not, they might be just the quietest person there is, but they know how to wait on the blessings of the Lord. And they just stand there and wait. Like a grandmother waiting for the city bus. You know what I'm saying? Just stand. I know it's coming. You'll never have that patience without that faith. So when you see the patience, when you see him wait on it, and it come to pass, you've just run across somebody with strong faith. See, the problem with the church is the church don't know what faith looked like anymore. Church don't know what faith looked like. Faith looked like Abraham, the father of faith. Huh? Well, you get the promise, amen, hallelujah, you got to wait 12. Huh? You got to wait a decade or so for God to deliver. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that up in here. All right? I got one. Look, look, look. Come on, come on. When you see impatience, anger, frustration with God and with the situation, it is indicative of a lack of faith, of small faith, of weak faith. A person that quits, throws in the towel, and give up. It's a person whose faith is not all that's cracked up to be. Faith will give you that patience. And patience is evidence of faith. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. He said, be not slothful. Be not slothful. Be imitators. Be followers of them. Them who? Look for those who have this patience and this faith. And what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? He says, then you're going to inherit the promise. My goodness, I don't prepare for the rest of the chapter, Phil. I don't think I'm going to get past verse 12. You see, because when you learn how to stand in faith and how to wait upon the Lord, he says, then you're going to inherit the promise. You see, this is the person you want to be with. This is the person you want to imitate. This is the person you want to identify and follow. You see, what do I look for, Pastor? I look for faith and patience. And then I look for inherited promises. You got to look in their life and see. They believe God. They waited on God. And God delivered. When you see that, they believe God. They waited on God. And God delivered. When you see that, oh, God have mercy. You say, oh, yeah. You say, oh, yeah, Master, well dwellest thou. You say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You see, you don't want to be around nobody who God not delivering for them. Because what they're doing not working. But when you see somebody believe God, wait on God, and God deliver, woo, then you say, whatever you're doing, show me how to do it, because it's working for you, and I know it's going to work for me. You watch them come in here with no car. Huh? They prayed for a car, they waited for a car, and God delivered a car. Now you need a car. What you need to do? You better get close and say, what you did? No. What did you pray? What the word was exactly? I'm just clowning, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You came in, they didn't have no place to stay. Huh? You watch them believe God, pray and wait, and bam, God bless them with a place to stay. Bless them with a house. Got a pool, got a diving board. What did you do? What did you do? Let me imitate what you did right here. All right? Not just tangible things. Huh? Deliverance, huh? They came in bound. They waited on God and now they've been set free. What did you do? Oh, man. I want to be an imitator. They inherited the promise, y'all. They inherited the promise. That's somebody you want to follow. They waited on God and God has come through for them. That's the one who you should want to imitate because whatever they're doing is working. You see? The fulfilled promise is the confirmation of their walk with the Most High. This word inherit right here is very, very important. The word inherit means to receive, hallelujah, a share of what has been allotted to you. It means to receive a share of what has been allotted to you. Do you know that God has some things allotted to you? Oh, you see that? You don't. Let me tell you a different way. I had not seen, nor ear heard, nor enter into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them who love him, believe him, and serve him. Listen to me. God has some things allotted for you. We sing about it all the time, Miss Chance. It's your inheritance, all right? All right? How many people know you got an inheritance with the Lord? Got some things up there for you. All right? I'm going to tell you something else. You don't have all the things right now that God has for you. Anybody hear me up in here? I wish God would just show us our storage room in heaven. The place where he's keeping the things that he got for us. You know what I'm saying? But I want to tell you something here. That you could stop, slow down, restrain the reception of your allotment. Oh, God. By the things you're doing on this side. All right? All right? Listen to me now. Don't be spiritual slothful. Stop doubting God. Trust him. Huh? Don't be impatient with God. Be patient. Wait for the Lord. Huh? You see, when you're not slothful, you're dwelling in faith, and you're dwelling in patience, God will release your inheritance. But you got to be able to wait on the promise. All right? Look at verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, what did they do through faith and patience? They inherited the promise. Who not getting their promise tonight? Whose promise is on hold tonight? Huh? Because they're getting impatient with God. Because they're not operating in faith with God. Because they're being slothful, sitting on a bench. See, you could miss out on your inheritance. You see, we got to realize in life, saints, that nothing is instant. I know the world makes it. You got instant grits, instant nails, instant hat, instant eyelashes. I'm sure if you pair enough, you can get instant muscles, man of God. I mean, it's just, you can get it, you can have it your way in these days. But I'm going to tell you, usually that's not how God operates. You say, Pastor, I thought he can come through suddenly. Yeah, he comes through suddenly. After you've waited, he'll break through suddenly. All right? Are you catching that? But most of the time, his MO, his mode of operation, amen, is for us to wait on his promise. It's a waiting period. All right? That's the way he operates. For those of us who've been blessed with things, houses, cars, lands, business, whatever, you walk up to them and you ask them, hallelujah, did you get it just instantly? Oh, no. Oh, no, I struggled for this. Oh, no, I labored for this. Oh, some would be, I prayed, I fasted for this. I cried, I wept for this. You don't know what this cost me. You're just looking at what the production and saying that you want it and you want it now. But you don't know how long it took for me to labor to bring this thing into manifestation. They want the fruit without the labor. Anybody hear me up in here? See, it's the labor and the waiting period that God uses to approve you for the product, the fruit that you want. Under natural situations, a woman will not just have a baby instantly. That man come home one day and there's no baby. He walk in, got a 12-year-old sitting there. It don't happen like that, Miss Chantel. But you got to carry that baby. And the first trimester, amen, you're that. Born in sickness. Second trimester, something else. You know, you got a taste on your tongue. You can't eat what you want. You want some strange stuff at night. You know what I'm saying? The third trimester, amen, your back hurt. Everything hurt. Feet big like this. You just... Watch yourself, Pastor. Watch yourself. And you just heard, and you're like, you went from happy, oh, we're pregnant, to get it out of me. Get it out of me. What happened to it? The labor. And God put us through that waiting period so that when you get that present, when you get that gift, when you get it, you value it. You value it like you never valued anything in your life. You won't just let anything misuse it. You won't let it out your sight. You ain't gonna let that thing live no any kind of way, amen, because you know that you labored for that. You know how many times you threw up and how many. Where's Shirley at, Gabe? Tell him, Shirley. My wife reminds Grace them all the time. Girl, don't you know that? She'll remind them all the time. You know? Where was I? Waiting. The waiting produces something in us. It produces a value of the thing. You see, when you get something too quickly, too easily, you don't appreciate it. You don't appreciate it. You don't appreciate it. You don't appreciate it, and you don't take care of it. See, when you don't have to labor for something and pray for something, man, listen, man. Man, you take care of that thing, man. You cut that grass. You weed eat. You paint. You take care of it. Because you done slept in a car before. Ooh! Nobody want to know about the struggle, Miss Chantel. They don't want to know about the struggle. They just want the fruit. For the future pastors in here, amen, they just want the Philadelphia. They don't want what came, all the struggle that came forth to birth Philadelphia. That's all they want. They just want the Philadelphia. Give me the 2,000 people. Give me the fancy night. Give me that. Give me that. Boy, please, boy. You don't have the fortitude to have it yet. You just want the school. Give me PCA. Give me PCA. For hundreds of students. Give me. You don't have the fortitude for that. These things don't happen instantly. It don't happen instantly. Oh, man, oh, God. I was talking to a brother, and he was talking about playing softball. And he was saying that his first season, he got on the team, he was excited, you know. And when he got on the team, amen, they put him on the bench, and he didn't get in the game. He didn't get in the game, amen, because they had people that who had been playing a long time, Mike. Some of us been playing since we was, me and Mike used to go at it, been playing since we was, you see? But you get on the team and you ain't never played before. And you got all these people that have been playing from here. You see? Could hit a ball with their eyes closed. You see? And you come up on the team, amen, and you ain't paid your dues. When as soon as you come up there, you want to play, you want to start. You want to move somebody out of a position that they've been playing their whole life. That's that instant stuff. His brother told me, he said, when they put him on the bench, he didn't quit, but he got to work. He got to work. He began to go to batting practice. He began to practice with, you know, relatives, putting in work. He began to pay his dues. All right? All right? Wait, come on now. Come on now. Don't go to bed on me now. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, pay your dues. Yeah, we living in a fickle church time. You don't want to pay your dues. You don't want to pay your dues. You got a Cinderella Christianity where you wake up the princess. His brother put in work. By the end of the season, he was in the game. All right? By the end of the season, he in the game. Next season, he starting. End of that season, he hitting game-winning shots. Hitting game-winning shots. Through faith and patience. Through faith and patience. Listen, nothing is instant. Can you wait upon the Lord? You see? I'm almost done. You see? Can God miraculously do something for you in a short space of time? Yeah, he could. You know, he could. But he probably won't. He probably won't. Not until he lets you wait a little while. You see? He lets you wait a little while because you're not ready. Because you really won't fully appreciate that thing. See, that brother, after he put in his work, you're going to appreciate it. Oh, y'all not hearing me up in here. I'm telling you. So he makes us wait. You see? So he makes us wait. But the word is that when you wait long enough and you don't quit and you wait in faith, you will inherit the blessing. All right. Now look, I'm going to stop right there, but I just want you to remember a word here. I put it on the screen. We conquer by continuance. That's the faith. That's the faith, rather. We conquer by continuance. That's the secret of the believer. The race is not given to the swift nor the strong. Me and my wife say this all the time. I'm giving game up here. Hey, God. Me and my wife say this all the time. The way the church work, and so many people start and don't finish. If you just wait a while, if you just wait a while, you will outlast everybody else. Positions of minister, deacon, ministry heads, all that. Listen. Don't even put your mind on that. Put your mind on continuing. Because when you continue, all those things going to come to you just by the mere fact, are you still here? You're still here. Because most of them can't take it. Most of them can't. If it don't happen in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you know what I'm saying? Did I tell him too much? It's patience. It's patience. It's patience. I'm telling you, man, I've been in churches where they hate a deacon guts. You understand what I'm saying? But he's still there. He's still there. And sooner or later, hey God, somebody gonna look up and see the value in him. He was still there. Next thing you know, he's standing behind the pulpit. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. I didn't get past verse 12, God, and I'm sorry for that. Next time we come, God, we're going to deal with the rest of it, King. So help. But we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would excite some in Philadelphia tonight, that we would get to work, King. That we not only get to work, Daddy, but that you would allow us to work with a zeal and a passion, with a faith and with a patience, so that we can inherit all your promises. I also pray that you would bless us to open our eyes and look out and see somebody who's really doing it for you, God. We got people in here that are not just ministers, not just pastors, not just first lady, but there's people in here that's living after you and inheriting promises, God. I pray that the people of God will see them and begin to say how you did that and what did you do in your relationship with the Most High. Father, I pray. And we do ask if there's anybody not saved in this place, that you would save them even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. I got caught up. If you could stand to your feet with me here for a second. Amen. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, salvation is as easy as ABC. You admit you're a sinner. You believe in him, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You open your mouth and you confess him as Lord. God will save you. He'll save you right now on the spot. God is not a man that he should lie. And he promised us that whoever calls upon would be saved. So listen, we'll call upon him before we leave. Somebody say, Lord, thank you for loving me. I admit I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. I believe in you. I trust that you died for my sins. I trust that you were buried in a grave, and I trust that you rose on the third day. Lord, take my faith and save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. And help me to live for you. Put somebody in my life who can lead me. Put somebody in my life who I can imitate. Lord, please. I want to live for you. Help me. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Brothers and sisters, remember that the coaches are meeting, amen, with the commissioner tonight. And so if the coaches could stay for the men flag football, they'll be meeting, amen. It's either going to be in the sanctuary, which I believe, or in the nursery, amen. But we're going to make it happen. Hallelujah. Well, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. I pray you have a great week this week. How you doing?
Bless
you. They doing good. Good to see you. May he bless you this week. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed.